Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Match Ball.
Hello, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Match Ball for the Leeds versus Brighton game. 2-2, brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors. It's 10% off at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. 10% off your legal fees. Say the words, Michael.
Will's Probate Conveyancing.
Will's Probate Conveyancing and the rest. What is the best thing about their website?
You can book appointments online.
Book appointments online and therefore use them UK-wide in cities, cities such as Moscow.
You've not got your special list.
Yeah, I've not got my list. I can't remember any towns.
Just name a place in the UK. I'll give you a clue.
Pressure.
Brighton.
That's one. Yeah, but we don't want to help anybody in Brighton. You can use Levi's to give like legal trouble to people in Brighton that you don't like.
Great. There we go.
That might be a misuse of their services.
Yeah, probably.
So, but they won't do it because they're very
good, ethical people.
Yeah, they'll stop you in your tracks.
As Andrew says in the comments on YouTube, live on YouTube for the TSB Plus members who get priority access to this and access to the live stream. Nice to get a Desmond. Yeah, the old 2-2.
Mm.
Didn't deserve it, did we, really?
God, no.
I mean, it needs to be said, Brighton are a bloody good team. I want to say that right up front. But they are, aren't they?
Yes.
That Mitoma
is right.
Mitoma, number 22. Mm. Dead good and better than any of our players.
What he did to Luke Ayling was...
That was unfair, wasn't it?
Despicable.
Mm. He sullied the legacy of a great man.
Yeah, they look to have a lot of ideas going forward. Pass, all that sort of stuff.
I did sit
couldn't
there.
Score though.
Well, they
scored twice, but they couldn't score as many as they
scored more than
couldn't score as many as they deserved to.
The pass going forward just left me a little envious, and I ended up having a chat with the bloke who just sits behind me saying, "We used to play like that.
Mm.
We did, didn't we?" But we've gone through this strange journey of sacking a manager who believed heavily in possession and control in a game to one who was the natural successor who did the opposite, and now we seem to have a squad that doesn't know whether it's neither here nor there with regards to that. I think that's the thing that that probably bothered me about that, is just how weak and lightweight we look in possession. Is that down to the league position or pressure, or what do you think?
Or is it all Brendan Aaronson?
Is
his weakness, so is he so weak it's spread to other people?
If he'd passed that one to Rodrigo when he broke over halfway and Rodrigo's going down his left on the outside with acres of, he had like a Mitoma amount of space to run into, and then Aaronson runs in the other direction. it's funny. It's like how he could not see that when it was right there, if he just glance and it was happening. But we scored. Pat Bamford admittedly got a deflection, but his right foot, see Pat, use your right foot, and it cannons in off a leg and a bar. Exactly how he planned it when he kicked the ball. And then Harrison.
Yeah. I mean, the Bamford one, when he did it in celebrating, I was just shouting, he used his right foot. He used his right foot.
We need to just address the Aaronson, because Steve's already jumped on it. Stephen has jumped on it in the comments. Well, we're not genuinely blaming Aaronson for this. It was just a passing joke about his lightweightness.
Yes.
But he had lots of moments. And he's not the only one, but he had like several moments where he just gets caught in possession or he gets knocked over. There was one point where a Brighton player knocked him absolutely flying, and it's just funny, it's just the way he is. It's like the same with last week when it's Harrison's crossing, like loads of them just drift into the back of the stand, and it's like, this is what it's like.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a money, and it would have been so good, because he's the chance we're talking about. If he just played Rodrigo in, it would have been beautiful, but he didn't. So like, life goes on, it's all right, but it's
just one moment.
You want him to just do it. It's like, and because as well.
I was going to say, it's just one moment in many, and it's fresh in the mind as well, because it's just happened towards the back end of the game. But there were loads of moments where midfield should have put the foot in, didn't put the foot in, and we lost out to loads of...
So it's Tyler Adams' fault.
Midfield wasn't great. Rocker was... Didn't do anything either, really, did he?
But the other thing about like the carelessness and the lightweightness in possession, is that a word? Was not just that, but the bite in the tackle as well. We seem to lose so many 50-50s as well.
Yeah, it's a bit, it's funny So the thing about the game in general is that Brighton and De Zerbi has designed that style of football basically to ruin the style of football that Jesse Marsh tried to make us play. It's anti-pressing. That's why they stand in the penalty area just passing and without even thinking and just standing on the ball.
Do you know what the cool kids call it? They're setting traps. And they were setting traps because they try and suck you in, don't you? Get the crowd frustrated.
Yeah,
we fell for it, yeah.
Yeah, there was one moment. It was second half. And the crowd got frustrated, and I think it might have been Tyler Adams. He responded to the crowd and pressed, and then as soon as that happened, pass, and they're basically up our end. And it's kind of really impressive to watch. But it's designed absolutely to stop us doing what we've been doing for the last year. I'm taking that point because I think that's one of the toughest games.
That's one of the daft things, isn't it? When you look at the other results this weekend and, you know, the Everton game today against Brentford, but then winning.
Bournemouth against Liverpool. Unhelpful.
Very unhelpful. But you would have taken a point going into this game, wouldn't you? That's the annoying thing. But I think it was more about the shape of the game, wasn't it? It was the fact that, as you said, Moscow, I thought I thought the crowd were being unfair to the team a little bit, but I also understood why the crowd were frustrated because this is a crowd that has been conditioned to see successful pressing football and they weren't doing it because we're trying to stay compact and in shape, you know, and have structure.
We're trying not to fall for it.
All the stuff that we had missing, you could argue, under Jesse Marsh, which was the charging off around the pitch and leaving massive gaping holes, we tried to minimise that by staying in structure, didn't we? But I did understand that... I understood the frustration because you're just thinking, well, go get it. But you've got to be careful about that, aren't you, with Brighton?
It's weird to watch though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. It's strange to see a defender or two defenders at points just playing the ball between each other and no one doing anything about it. It goes against your instincts, doesn't it, to go, well, someone needs to go in, but then...
I think as well...
It did sort of limit them getting it into midfield, didn't it? Because we were saying, well, if we stay in a line here and mark the midfielders rather than you can't give it to McAllister or Mitoma or one of the...
Well, because they kept trying that.
I was perfectly happy. In fact, in the last minute when the ball fell on the edge of the box to Dunk, you were like, perfect. It's gone to Dunk. And you put it wide. Like, you want him on the ball probably more than any other Brighton player. He's a good defender and all, but not particularly great with the ball.
I was just going to say, sorry, on the point that you were making then about what we limited them to doing was that ball, which they kept trying over and over again, which was the centre-backs pinging it right through the lines, through the midfield, but low into the feet of an attacker who'd drop in and then return the ball and try and spin or maybe play a ball inside. And they got away with it a number of times. They did it a number of times. You could see that was the tactic they were kind of trying to do, get us to press right up on them when our midfield sat right up on the edge of their box with our attackers. And it left that big gaping hole in midfield, didn't it?
And their other one was...
Bloody hell, it's his tactics.
Their other one was over Ayling's head to try and hit Mitoma, which worked a few times, and bless him, I think. So I actually think Ayling did all right, considering what he was up against. And I think as well...
Did he? I don't think he did.
Somerville's got to help him. And I think it was noticeable after half-time, Somerville was on it. The 20 minutes before half-time, Ayling was tearing his man bun out with him. There was one where... there's a few times we watched Somerville's just kind of standing watching things while you've got players running around trying to help Ayling out. And it's his job. And there was one Melier actually kicked a goal kick towards him, and he, rather than challenge the player who went up to for the header, Somerville kind of like turned away and was like, oh, I'll see if it was going to drop over here. And he just doesn't look got the defensive mind.
There is quite a lot of that with this entire side, did you think? That second ball mentality where they often either won't challenge or they just think, I'll see where this goes.
Yes, and that's, in fact, I was going to say that when we got into the Brighton thing, because the way we it was surprising a little bit. We were quite successful with stopping them a few times when they tried playing through us. We would get stop them from doing it, but we wouldn't win the second ball. Like, we'd get a tackle in, or we'd get a foot in, or we'd get a little deflection on it, and then you'd see two Leeds players kind of going like, well, are you going to have it then? And Brighton would just go, oh, we'll just have it back in that case. And that was a little disappointing, considering that those are the moments that they have been taught over the last year to do, which is to press and win the ball and get on the second ball and then rush at goal, which is kind of what we were trying to get to happen, but not in the 6-yard box. Run, let them get out a little bit, win the ball in their half preferably, and then go. But we were winning the ball in their half and then letting them win it back. And I don't know if maybe the players are a bit caught between two coaches now.
That's what I meant when between two pillars. Yeah, yeah. It's not quite knowing what to do with it because you've been conditioned since pre-season to do one thing and then someone else has come in with a different idea.
But just win the fucking ball.
Mm.
Get the ball.
I mean, I thought it was quite cute, and Leah's mentioned this in the comments on YouTube, the Brighton fans are laying from 20 minutes on. Not that they were going anywhere with it, but that grumble in the crowd sort of manifested itself. But you saw them probing, you probed down the right, and you went back to the centre-halves, and I thought, we've actually defended that correctly, and we've done well. But again, going back to the point I made before, you understand the frustration, don't you, when you just see our players dropping off. I was chatting to my dad about it, and he was saying, why is the fullback not closer to their wide player? And I was like, well, if you look at how big they're trying to make the pitch, both wide players were hugging the touch lines. So our defensive structure is to defend the width of the area. So you notice that Ailing on the right would be positioned by the 18-yard box line, and the same over on the other side for Firpo. And then they'd go out and meet the player. But it's frustrating to watch when you see the ball arriving there, but they obviously fancied themselves to defend it facing up to somebody, which seemed to be actually more successful than the other alternative, which was to let them ping the big balls in behind when Ailing got caught loads.
Yeah, I mean, their first goal was from a cross, wasn't it?
But it started with a throw-in and then it's pass over to one wing, then across. And the one I was just going to say, the one when they started Olaying, they did end up attacking. They took the ball from it was the two centre-backs were just passing to each other. And so it was a bit of a Brighton piss take. They were just we'll just Olay this while they're passing to each other. And then they kept Olaying because they passed all the way up to our end of the pitch and were attacking from our corner. And then it went on for bloody ages and I hated it.
As it has been flagged up in the comments, Steve has just mentioned that it was getting ready to turn ugly before Bamford scored, and it was. It was right on that knife edge, the crowd. The grumble had turned into outright booing and what the fuck is going on.
I was going to say, was the Olaying bit, was that around 35 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah. My notes say, 35, we can't get the ball. What the fuck is going on? And then Bamford.
Also, it was you starting.
And then Bamford right foot. No, it was a reminder that chant did happen and then continued after Bamford's goal.
It was actually 25 when there was the first Olaying. Now I look, but then it kept going. And I think the reason that's a really tough game for us in two ways. One, because of, as I was saying, De Zerbi, kind of his desire is to be the anti, the unpressable team. So it's kind of against everything that we do. Secondly, and this is the kind of thing that people don't like you saying, but it's only Brighton. And so the perception within the stadium, if nobody's seen Brighton play before, then what the fuck was going on? If you don't know what De Zerbi is about and you see that game where their centre back. It reminded me of when Reading came under Jaap Stam, but they were terrible at it, where they just stood in their half and passed the ball between their centre backs, but to the point that they were so bad at it, it was funny. That night, Alejandro was laughing.
Because that's all they were doing. They weren't getting out, were they? Yeah. They were just right, fine.
Yeah. And also, we weren't a pressing team, so we were just in our half watching them, their centre halves, 40 yards away from anybody, passing to each other, wondering what the hell was going on. But obviously, we don't watch Brighton every week. Don't really interested in what they're doing. But then they turn up with a style of play that is completely unusual. Nobody else is playing the way that Brighton really do. And then, and what's our tactic against it is to kind of probably the right thing to do is to stand and watch until they try to attack and then try to stop the ball. Because it is. I mean, if the game had gone. Grathier has said that we went for it to win, but I don't think we would have minded if the game had been 90 minutes of Webster and Dunk passing to each other and then it's 0-0. That would have been fine. It's everything else that we have to worry about.
Yeah.
It takes some adjusting to, doesn't it? Because it's a system set up with a tacit acknowledgement that we're the worst, that we're not going to get anything from this game
the inferior team.
If we try to play in an attacking way, whereas we had a few years under Bielsa where we never ever did that, and occasionally we did get spanked. But we never, ever sat off people, did we, and tried to not win a game or tried to nick a game. It wasn't in our nature to do that, was it? Whereas today...
It felt like the game plan today was set up to allow them to have the ball in defensive areas and see if they could get through us, sit tight for an hour, and then try and nick it later on. It felt to me like that's the way we were set up from the start. And obviously the game went in a different direction, but...
I mean, and we did nick it, didn't we? Because it's not like we created chances particularly.
Well, let's talk about the positives, because the goals were good. Both goals were good. And in terms of, I've spoken before on
this. I mean, it was, if Bamford's goes in against us, I say that's just a very heavily
deflected.
It was
set up well, though. And it's set up from Harrison winning a tackle down the wing, racing to keep it in, which is one of the things that you have to love about Jackie Harrison. His first touch, and his willingness to chase a ball when it's like millimetres from going out. He tried doing it at one point in the second half when the ball was quite clearly, there was absolutely no chance he was going to stop it from going out for a goal kick. And he just had a little bit like, actually, no, he raced for it. And he's like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He always tries and it works. Kept that ball in, got it to Bamford and bless him, right foot. Thank you, Pat. You don't shoot, you don't score. That was a problem that became in the second. I thought we ended quite well, not to skip ahead, but last 20 minutes when we're tapping it around their penalty area, just one of you just shoot.
Yeah, if that game had gone on for another 10 minutes, let's say, you might have, we might have nicked it.
Yeah. And then Pazza Bamford had the shot. And loved his celebration.
He milked it, didn't he, that one?
I was a little bit like, how long are we actually going to celebrate this, Pat? I know it's been a while.
I was just going to say,
great goal.
I've said before, like, be it this show or the Phil Hayes show, whatever, about football being about moments and seasons turning on moments. And with the crowd as it was, just on that precipice of, I imagine that the sack the board chance wouldn't have been far away. Maybe even, I was trying to think of who's going to fashion this into us, you can stick your 10% up your arse or something like that. And then for it to just pick the ball up like that and just twat it in from distance when you've been crying out for somebody just to pick the ball up and put it in the back of the net via just one means or another. And he did it and he was like, all right.
And then after his assist with the equaliser, the boy, Jackie himself.
Mm-hmm. The boy. Yeah, I haven't seen a replay of Harrison's own goal.
It wasn't an own goal, it was a goal.
Was it?
Did he score an own goal?
I think he should have kicked it with his right. Ended up trying to take it on his left and just put it into the net.
I'm without a little telly these days, so I didn't really know what happened to that.
Oh, taking it off you.
Oh, I'm on the gantry now.
Oh, he's back.
Back
he's
up back. There.
He's been to the gantry.
Are we blaming him for the second goal?
Well, I mean,
I couldn't see it.
I would be upset.
Until I've seen a replay, I don't know, but I was listening to Radio Leeds on the walk back down and they were saying that he should have kicked it away with his right foot very hard, which, just remember that idea, kicking it very hard with your right foot. But instead, he led with his left foot and he volleyed it in.
My notes for it just say 2-1, fuck knows Messi.
Yeah.
Because it was, I didn't know. It was. I'm in the cop, so it's far end. And it looked like we should have done something better than we did. It was about all I could get.
I'm just going into the comments now on the YouTube stream and people obviously who would have listened, watched this one on the radio.
Yeah.
Jane, Andrew, Lee, all thank you, leading off Wedgebot, saying it was very much an on goal, definite on goal. Yes, it was Harrison's fault, 100%.
But wasn't there a bigger problem that we
remember Strachan in the Charity Shield, 1992. Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The bigger problem was that we'd let Brighton pass from their right wing over to the left all the way to the goal line.
I was going to say, Ayling again is being flagged up in the comments, people saying he just completely exposed it on that side.
Yeah, yes, there were a few times he got done. We got away with quite a lot. And then I think once the ball's on the goal line and if you can't sort your legs out, you know, it should have been stopped before then. But let's just talk about him scoring.
We did get the full...
We were trying to do the positives, weren't we?
Well, we got the full Harrison today, didn't we?
People say he doesn't do the numbers. He's done everything.
Everything from... They described it on Radio Leeds as the good, the bad and the ugly. I'm going to say the sublime to the ridiculous because the finish was sublime. The own goal was ridiculous. And some of his... He's just weird. He's a bit of a weird player, is Harrison, isn't he? In that you just get so frustrated with him often.
Mm.
And yet there are really good elements to his game.
I'll be honest, today I didn't want him starting and then I'd have taken him off before he scored. I'd have taken him off before he scored their goal too, though, in fairness. So maybe that evens out. But he's frustrated me the past few weeks.
And yet
he did that. But I was surprised that both him and Aaronson didn't go off sooner because I thought they were both having some problem using the ball.
Yeah, it's 50-50 in it. Are they bad at using the ball? Are Brighton good at stopping them? I thought, you know, Brighton were good. And there was some... Harrison got at least two good crosses in. And it's almost like you're wondering how much you want 10 good crosses and you want them all to be headed in. But then you end up looking at, like, success rates for crosses in the Premier League and stuff. And it's actually like two good crosses a game is like you'll give somebody 100 grand a week. It's a really funny sport in that respect. And then the goal.
Harrison gave the ball away twice in the first 2 minutes as well, which didn't help my...
Yeah, he started terribly.
It didn't help my perception of why on earth is he playing, because he was struggling. Fucking hell!
But he was also in the last 20 minutes was racing back, covering Ayling.
And that's the thing, you get the work from him, don't you? Whereas maybe if Somerville does tend to leave Ayling a little bit exposed at times, which we could have done without today, to be perfectly honest, given how much trouble he had with Mitoma.
He didn't have a lot going forward either.
He didn't have for much. He was quite quiet, I think.
Tyler Adams spent some time bollocking him as well at one point as well. I wasn't entirely sure what he was getting at.
He was bollocking at one point.
I think it was about his movement. I think he was saying you should have gone to help out on that side or something. I couldn't really work it out.
He gets a lot of bollockings, which is one of the reasons why I think, I'm not sure that the rest of the players particularly enjoy him being there, because Ayling was like playing a pass and then it just goes out of play and he's bollocking Somerville. So it's obviously he was expecting Somerville to be doing something else. Adams was bollocking him. And then I don't know if that's the same time, because I thought he might have been bollocking Bamford, so it might be another bollocking, a lot of bollocking. But Mitoma was on the ball attacking Ayling at the time. And I was like, Tyler, bigger issues right now.
And it was in our box that I saw him bollocking him.
Right, okay. He was having a go at Pat Bamford at the same time while Mitoma was dribbling upfield. Lads.
Deal with that first.
One thing at once.
He's a free spirit, is little Jimmy, isn't he?
Yeah, but he needs to
learn the structure.
Yeah, if you could get some of the... he's got great examples around him, because the thing about Harrison is, you know, even his bad games, he's going to work his bollocks off, and that has its own value. So many bollocks in this match. Can we talk about his goal?
In a minute. Can we just... I need to get this one away before the comment disappears off the top of the screen, but Chappie's saying that Harrison at the minute is preoccupied with thoughts of absolutely skying loads of crosses for Leicester instead, which I had to get in there. Oh, bless him. Oh, Jack, keep at it, lad. Keep at it.
So his cross went in, though, didn't it today? It was
intentional finish, Michael Normanson. I thought it was a great finish, wasn't it?
It was. It took me completely by surprise.
And that right foot that he should have swung at the own goal. Do you remember I mentioned that before?
Mm.
Did it with this?
Was it very dippy? This shot.
Yeah,
it looked very dippy.
Was it deeply dippy?
I don't think that I don't think the goalkeeper even dived.
Yeah, it just sort of went... I was confused by it.
I think he did. He did that sort of dive sidewaysy backwardsy as it went over him, you know, like when you went, oh, God, it's gone in that.
And it was like, it's one... I think it would be very satisfying on whichever highlights programme you choose to watch on, because there's a huge gap, but you need to put it there. And also, players don't normally try it. Mm. So it's like, straight in. And Nyonto needs some credit for this one as well. So I feel like we've done Harrison. That's all the credit he's getting. because this is why Brighton were having a big fit about that goal being allowed, because there's...
Two balls on the pitch.
But Nyonto immediately grabbed the second one and bowled it out of play.
Yeah.
So problem was solved. And if he'd not done that, if he'd left it there, if it had still been on the pitch when the ball went in the top corner, I think the referee would have had a hard time letting that goal stand
Our little cabal of people, we were convinced that was going to get disallowed. When the Brighton players were in his ear, I thought he was going to say, don't worry, we'll check it on VAR. But then they waved it through, didn't they?
Is Paul Tierney normally nice to us? Is he normally all right?
Do you consider him quite nice today? He seemed to be a little bit mild by his own standards, didn't he? He was peri-peri lemon and herb today.
He let that one stand. And then
he seemed quite determined not to book people early on, I thought.
How many times did he go to Robin Cock? Last one.
Well, he warned him, didn't he? He warned him that first one where he turned, it might have been McAllister, but he warned him, and then he said to him, like, right, next one's a booking. So he got away with two, didn't he?
The bookings were... Firpo did manage to get his, didn't he?
Yeah, right at the end.
Was it the arm? Oh, no, it was the tackle. He got away with the arm, didn't he? When he put his arm across the player he was trying to pull down.
Oh, I thought that was all right. He was barely touched him.
Yeah, it was a foul. It was a good, solid junior Firpo foul, that one.
There was a few, the Brighton fans were getting very upset at one point because we were getting lots of free kicks and they weren't getting any. And Tierney seems to be sort of, I think he kind of perhaps tuned into the way they were playing and what we were trying to do, that we were trying to get the tackles in before they crossed halfway. So even if the tackle was a little bit rough, he was kind of going, fine.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way you want to play the game, Brighton. This is where they're going to try and tackle you. So you've got to expect them to be a bit late.
Also, McAllister did spend a lot of time rolling around on the floor as well. So
God, there was that moment. Was it him in the second half? McAllister's number 10, isn't he? Of course he's number 10, obviously, McAllister.
The mess.
In front of the East Stand down near me. That got me particularly acting juvenile and angry.
Did he get his toasted on or something?
Because
it didn't look like much at all, but it was one of those
he must have been caught a bit.
Because that actually seemed to spark the atmosphere a bit.
Sorry.
It was a weird atmosphere to that point.
Yeah. Mr. Philip of Hay, who I assume did see a little telly, tweeted that Tyler had left one on him.
Good.
And really? He said it would have been a booking if the referee had seen it.
Oh, really?
You think, I thought, well, I was close to it, and I think, and Phil, bearing in mind, Phil's over the other side of the ground, I think he's wrong.
Bearing in mind, he saw a little telly on the replay, but you've got to bear in mind as well, don't really know anything about football, does he?
No. He's Hearts fan.
He's elite-hating bastard.
Yeah. Absolute Hearts fan, isn't he? Where else should we go with this? Have we dealt with everything crowd was weird, wasn't it?
Very briefly got Nonto mentioned. Why are we not starting him? Because he's still our best player.
I think he's been a bit tired, and I suspect that
he never looks tired.
I think, like, that's why I thought today, you know, I said earlier about us trying to keep it tight for an hour and then bring him on. Sorry, not bring him on, but then try and nick one. I thought that was his role in this. I thought they were thinking about maybe trying to bring on the attacking players that would perhaps win us that game.
We should nick some game in the first half.
Yeah, because you look at it and you saw what he contributed to the team versus his pal Somerville today. And you know, you always say these things with the benefit of watching the game in hindsight, but I would have put him in over Somerville today and maybe even Harrison. But
Maybe he just needs a peace, just a rest. We've been relying on him too much. It wouldn't be a problem if Somerville and Harrison like put in six great crosses and we scored six.
Wedgebot is suggesting that 19-year-olds don't get tired.
Tell Sam Byram.
Yeah, Sam Byram got very tired.
He did get very tired. I don't know if he's still yet recovered. Tell Chris Dawson.
I mean, he never got tired, did he? He played like twice.
He could have been the Wolf Nyonto if he'd only had the chance. Similar size. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's only got little legs as well, so we've got to look after him. And that's what I was going to say as well, is Brighton's second goal. Okay, admittedly, Jack Harrison scored it for them. But that was quite a dangerous time from the game point of view because... you don't want to be behind in the last 20 minutes against a team that is happy to just pass it between its two centre-backs. I had a bad feeling before Jackie got the equaliser. What minute did he score that? It took 77 minutes when he finally put it in. And that put the cat amongst the pigeons from the way the game was going to go because it meant Brighton had to kind of, if they wanted to win, they now had to attack. They didn't have 90 minutes to just pass around in their own six-yard box. And I think once it became a game where Brighton were attacking us, okay, Danny Welbeck turned into Maradona at one point and then put the ball over the bar. And he got through another time and Melier was out. I think he might have been offside, but Melier got him one-on-one. But I thought we were attacking pretty well once we had Nyonto and Rodrigo and Ruter all came on. And it was more of an even match once Brighton stopped just being... silly asses on their own goal line, basically.
Silly asses.
Yeah, that Welbeck one, I was just waiting for the net to ripple. It maybe shows why Welbeck has been a good player for his entire career, but never really scored very many goals because he was absolutely danced through people, didn't he? And then wasn't even close, was it? It was quite a long way over.
I think that ball is in the Peacock car park.
Shall we talk about the league table?
No. No,
very tight.
Not interested in it.
It is very tight, and I think that's why we don't need to lose our shit just yet about the state of things. It could potentially look worse with Southampton and West Ham either side of us. We're in that sandwich at the minute, both having a game in hand. Plenty of teams down there are not very good. There is a lot of season still to go. And it's funny, like, I found last season incredibly stressful. This season, I'm just letting it wash over me. And I accept that at some point we will know our fate one way or another. And I hope we'll be okay.
We're still miles out. I mean, it's one of those... I know Bournemouth beating Liverpool puts pressure on for what we had to do. And then Everton beating Brentford at the same time as we're playing. None of it's helpful. But the league isn't getting sorted out today. League isn't sorted out based on these results. So another week when we're beating Wolves or somebody and then Everton are losing and Bournemouth are not beating Liverpool or whatever... it's gonna be like this for the next 2 months. It's gonna be great. And also, I mean, what the frick are Liverpool doing?
Yeah, ridiculous.
We're 4 points off 12th. Mm. Is a weird way of looking at it. It's incredibly tight. Is it? Yeah.
Can Chelsea still go?
I feel like this is a very unusual shape of a league at the bottom.
By now, somebody's been cut adrift.
Nearly always, doesn't there? There are one or two who you think like, oh, they're gonna go pretty definitely. But this year, God, it might be us.
Yeah. How have Bournemouth got above us? Like this, none of this is, stop.
They won a game, Moscow. Mm. I don't know if you noticed it.
Well, that's it. You only need to win one game and it all changes.
Just wrap it up on the post-match comments I was going to say. Sorry, De Zerbi, Popey is tweeting saying that De Zerbi says it's one of the most disappointing results of his time in charge. If ever there was a team who deserved to win, it was Brighton.
What?
And Hove Albion.
That's a bit overdramatic.
I said it dramatically.
He's not been there long, though, has he, in fairness?
So, not you. Your delivery was perfect.
Oh, thank you.
But his words are very dramatic.
Nonto is trending on Twitter with Fiona Bruce and Andrew Neil at the moment. So
is Willie Nonto presenting so that's, Match of the Day tonight?
That's something. He's running a right-wing magazine.
Should we fully scab it and present Match of the Day?
Never.
Should we put our services out?
We're not as bad as Adam Pope.
Now, don't you denigrate the great man. Anything else before we head off then? Jane asks, do Englishmen say frick? No, I think Moscow is just tempering his language there. He's usually a potty mouth, effing this, seeing that. But
yeah, you don't hear it very often. Not as often as you should. What's the etymology of frick? That's what everybody's tuned in to know, isn't it?
Bamford as a whole, I thought was quite good. Mm. That's something we haven't said.
No, Bamford as a whole is a relief rather than being in bits.
Yes.
One whole Bamford. And there's some positivity for today. Great performance by Luis Sinisterra at the end.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy his touch?
So it was great. So he looked really... He walked off...
Was he exhausted?
No, how can I put this? He walked off sort of cradling the ball. I'm trying to do a dirty joke. It's not really working. When the full-time whistle went, the ball bounced into his hands.
Imagine you doing dirty talk, Moscow. You just...
A joke. And then he
dirty
was...
Talk,
yeah, it's a different thing.
You're thinking about dirty talk. Now,
he was like...
Caressing
that ball.
Stroking it.
For all he was worth, as if he was like, oh, I wish I was playing more.
As it pulsated.
Well, that's good that he is actually able to enter a field of play for us. Same with Rodrigo, same with Bamford.
Javi's mentioned this. He's saying we've got a load more attacking options. Like he actually mentioned some time ago, I think right at the start of the press conference, potentially, that Bamford was fine to start, but not to complete a full 90. And obviously Rodrigo's now playing his way back to fitness. This is me embellishing what he said, but we'll have more options next week, so we'll see. Eh?
Yeah, and then an international break, and then after that, it's just a run of straight wins.
You never know.
Probably.
We've always got one in us, Mike.
We need more than one in us, though, don't we? That's the thing.
A few will do it.
We can do with...
A few will do it.
At least four or five in us.
Yeah, we've got that.
Is what we probably need.
Not a problem.
But I thought Bamford, he actually linked things up well. When it was... Because we were struggling to actually hold the ball at certain points, and when it felt like Bamford was... Which admittedly maybe ruins the shape of the team because there's not then anyone in the middle to receive the ball.
Yeah, he kept dropping out.
At various points, he was like, I'll come out so we can actually keep hold of the ball for a little bit. So he did that well.
Wedgebot is just enjoying the dirty talks. Have I subbed to only Leeds fans or something?
One of my favourite
We could do this as a private stream, couldn't we? Like a sexy talk, get Moscow on the old...
One of my favourite bits with Pazza Bamps was he ended up on the left wing with the ball, and then it was Firpo and Harrison kind of taking it in turns to do the 1-2s with him as he gradually tried to work his way back into the middle without giving the ball away. Oh, we did it very successfully. And then as soon as he was in the middle, I think it might have gone to Rocker and then we lost it. And it was like, oh, all that effort just to try and work Bamford back into the box. And then it just didn't quite come off, but that was good. There were a couple of, there was one bit when we were dead good.
I checked my notes. I don't think I noticed that.
Let's close on this thought then. Javi is saying that every point counts. So given everything, is that a decent point in the end?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were loads better than us.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that they were much better than us and we didn't particularly create any chances, we just twatted a couple in.
Mm-hmm. And the three things, so actually four. One, the pressure from Bournemouth before the game can't have helped. Two, they're loads better than us. Three, tactically, they're poison. Four, because of the team that they are, it's not us. It's not just tactically that they're poison, but that like the crowd were never going to like Brighton being better than us in the way that they were better than us. So they were there to really get the Elland Road angry, which I think they achieved as well. So to get out of all of that, and then the second goal being scored when it was, it could have been very easy for them to just like shut the game down. And so there's five things now. Basically, we've got through like a real load of trouble with a point, and that's good.
Yeah, it's weird that it's only Brighton thing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it, from our expectations, Brighton and Southampton are kind of on a par, whereas Southampton are shit. And Brighton are really good. And they've been the consecutive home games. And you almost expect that we could, at some point, show we're better than Brighton, but we're not.
We played them.
No. Our players aren't as good as theirs.
Been for a while.
I mean, one of their players won the World Cup and missed an absolute golden chance when he should have scored. Yeah.
Mm.
But, I mean, we played both Brighton and Southampton in League One.
Yeah.
So it's like trying to get your head around the fact that Brighton are, you know,
well-run
team. Well-run team.
Well-recruited.
Yeah.
Good coach.
It all fits together. I think there's a lot to be said about the way Brighton have built that team for that, with that manager, either in mind or the way it all fits together. The way it's turned up and they look absolutely perfect to play the style of play. They've done a lot of things that we have not done. And I was thinking like we will have we'd probably have a easier time of things against like top four teams. We Scum were easier to play against than them.
Mm.
Weren't they? Because of, and you think about how much they cost, and like they are a traditional rival.
They left space, didn't they?
And then you don't expect, like, when Brighton turn up, you're like, oh, the easy win this. And like,
well,
absolutely not.
With that in mind, this time next week, we've got Wolves. Easy 3 points there as we head into the international break. And who else have we got after that? Oh, loads of teams we can beat. We've then got Arsenal away. They'll have faltered by that point. Forest at home, easy. Palace at home, easy.
What have Wolves done this week? Have they played yet? No, they play tomorrow.
Yeah, some games tomorrow. Leicester had their didn't only lose to Chelsea today, they had that phase sent off, so that's a suspension. Oh, okay. So there'll be a defender short. I think they'll have to play with because they've only got a small squad the next game.
Jerry Taggart.
They have to bring him back.
Fair enough.
Mike Whitlow's refusing.
Right, now
his loyalties are with Leeds.
Now we're just listing retro characters. I think it's time to wrap up the show and say thank you for joining
us. What about Matt Elliott
on the live stream?
Muzzy, is it?
And if you're listening afterwards, my apologies. It's gone
who was
for this long.
Who was the Leicester player that played? There was a defender, but also played as a striker.
Ian Marshall? No.
No, that's Oldham.
That's Oldham.
It's time to go, lads.
There was one.
I don't know. I'm just going to say Andy Impey, just because he had no neck.
Paul Warhurst. We'll see you in a bit.
No, he was Blackburn. Come on.
Bye. The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.